Hello, everyone. In today's episode, we talk about soreness, what causes it, and if it's really necessary for a productive workout. Please enjoy.
Welcome to the Perfect Workout Podcast, where fitness meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of the Perfect Workout. I'm joined by Jim Keane, our Director of Training. We hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome back, everybody. Jim, how are you?
I feel great.
Yeah.
I feel superlative. They can't stop us now.
Dude, I'm so excited. I'm excited for today's episode because we've been getting some great feedback from members, some questions from members. So in these next few episodes, we're going to address a lot of those directly, which is really cool. I did my workout a couple minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I drink the Kool-Aid.
Looking swole, bro.
Thank you.
Filling out that shirt.
We'll see if my brain can work.
Yes. Yeah, the post-workout delirium is strong.
Exactly. Yeah. So speaking of workout, here's a story that I heard recently. So actually, I just encountered this. I was with some peers. I'm in this peer group. It's called Vistage. And some of the people in that group are strength training with us, which is really cool.
Sweet. Nice.
So I'm talking to one person who's new to strength training. And I'm like, what do you like? What do you not like? Tell me about it. And this person's feedback was, man, I really liked it because I felt sore.
Mm.
So I know that it's working.
Right. That's how I know.
Yeah. And so my response as a trainer is like, oh, cool. Yeah. And then the very next person, I kid you not, it's like, same question. They're like, I like it, but I'm not sure if I'm going to keep doing it because I didn't feel sore.
Right.
So I don't know if it's working. So you have those two. It's working because I'm sore. It's not working because I'm not sore. And then I don't know if you're like me, but I also get the exact opposite all the time. And we see it in member feedback. I don't want to keep doing this workout because I was sore.
It makes me too sore.
Yep.
Right.
Exactly. So let's talk about that today. What is soreness? Does it matter? Fire away.
Yeah, I'd say the soreness question, it's very funny because it's like a logic problem. There are, I think it was Mark Twain said, it's not the stuff you don't know that gets you in trouble. It's the stuff you know for sure that just ain't so. And so if I'm not sore, then that necessarily means the workout has not been productive. Well, not necessarily. I haven't been sore for years and years. I've been using this technology since 2013, and I haven't been sore since 2015, 2016, something like that. And yet, year after year, stronger and stronger, more and more muscle. So the fact that you are sore is not an indicator that you have had a productive workout, but just because you don't have soreness, that also doesn't mean you didn't have a productive workout. So the two are unrelated. There is no correlation.
Okay.
I can give you a very ineffective workout and make you sore. Mm-hmm. I could hit your quad with a hammer 400 times and you'd be sore the next day, but that's not a workout, is it? So just because you are damaged and feel soreness, that doesn't mean that what you have done has been productive exercise. So instead, people need to understand that the soreness sometimes happens, sometimes doesn't. It can often happen just from doing a new movement pattern,
okay,
a new exercise. So basically, the progress or lack thereof should be based on your performance and the progressive overload over time. If you're able to perform better in subsequent workouts, then what you have done has been a productive workout. If you are able to rapidly deplete fuel and apply mechanical loading to your bones and your tendons and your ligaments and all the stuff we're trying to get from the stimulus to the workout, that's the determinant of the productive capacity of the workout. So just because you're sore, that doesn't necessarily mean that you've had a great workout. It could, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. And if you're gaining strength week after week after week after week, but you just find yourself never getting sore, don't worry about it. You don't need to do extra stuff just to feel sore. So it doesn't matter, even a little bit. And there are strategies to mitigate it if you don't like it.
Okay.
And for those sick puppies who do want to be sore, there's strategies to make you more sore if you psychologically feel that you would prefer that.
So tell us a little bit what causes soreness. And you're right. Like I've noticed there it seems to me, I don't know if this is true, there's something either physiological that's tied to people's genetics. Like some people are just never sore. Some people are always sore. Some people are sore because they're new to it. And some people just aren't. So what is soreness? What's the mechanism there?
So this is one of those where I can proudly say, nobody knows. There are people who indicate that it's physical damage to the muscle fibers. And that's what most people would assume. So especially during the eccentric, the negative portion, the phase of contraction where an active muscle is lengthening, there are cross bridges in between the actin and myosin filaments. And as they rip apart, damage is produced. And that damage then needs to be repaired. And we experience this process as soreness. That's one theory. That has a lot of good reasoning behind it. And there are more chemical theories, hormonal theories. There's the production of lactate, lactic acid, and the accumulation of the byproducts of fatigue, which themselves, in their processing, cause a sensation of soreness. And so some people hang their hat on that, and there's research to support that as well. But the larger picture, the mechanism is a demand has been placed on the muscle that is above and beyond its previous capacity. And so the downstream effects of that produce what we experience as soreness, or not. Because you can have all that, and then someone's not sore. Like in my case, I have torn it up and built it back, torn it up, built it back so many times that my body is very well adapted to this process of digging a hole, filling it up, and then some. Dig a hole, fill it up, and then some. So what would have been shocking to my body in 2013, a huge demand, way beyond anything I'd had before, now it's just like, oh, you're doing this again? Cool. We have the enzymes, we have the proteins, we have the amino acids, we have all the tools we need already stocked to fix this problem that you just caused again because you keep doing it every week. But most people don't have those reserves, that inventory that the body needs to repair, the step two, and then to build even greater structures, even greater fuel users.
Okay, so if you're on this end of the spectrum where it's, I'm never really sore, and if that means you're happy, congratulations. If it means you're not happy because you think it is related to outcomes that you're hoping for, the research is clear. Soreness doesn't equal results. It doesn't equal outcomes, et cetera. And so let's talk a little bit about the second side of the spectrum that you just talked about. Somebody is sore. They just started strength training with us and they've been sore and that worries them. They don't like it. A lot of people feel like I'm not recovered. So what are some of the strategies you talked about when it comes to handling soreness?
So the first thing I would try, the first strategy to be used, is to try to increase the recovery capacity that the body has. So the workout works. We don't want to reduce the demand we're placing on the body unless absolutely necessary. Mm-hmm. And you can and still make great progress over time. But first, I would say sleep is the biggest needle mover, the most leverage.
Which we talked about a few episodes ago.
Correct. Yeah. So all that sleep hygiene stuff. Your body repairs one time and one time only, and that is when you are asleep. Everything it does when you're awake, that's triage. That's just stopping the bleeding. But the actual repair happens when you're asleep. So if you only sleep 5 hours a night and you're complaining about soreness, huge low-hanging fruit. The second thing, when your body repairs, what does it need? It needs substrate. And the substrate in this case would be amino acids, would be protein. So protein in the diet, as everyone knows by now, is just, it's in the name protein. It's primary. It's priority. It's priority. It's the main thing to focus on, or the main thing upon which to focus. Heading sentences with prepositions is something up with which I will not put. So you need to focus on protein, and those are the building blocks that the body is going to use to recover and reduce the duration of the soreness. So get some sleep, get plenty of protein, and then finally hydration. And yes, that's good high-quality water, spring water, and things like that. But also consider some electrolyte packs. There's a bunch of different brands and a bunch of different ways to do it. But you do need sodium and phosphorus and magnesium and potassium. And all these things are cofactors in the replenishment of fuel and the rebuilding of structure. Mm-hmm. And the fuel and the structure, those are the things upon which the demand was placed in the workout. And so that's what you need to address when you try to recover. So if you're excessively sore and you're crushing your sleep, you're getting tons of protein, and you are staying hydrated, well hydrated, and you get out in the sun, and this, and step two, the recovery step, is all maxed out. Okay, then we can consider reducing the demand we're placing on the body. So that could be fewer repetitions, slightly lower levels of resistance in a bunch of different ways that we can measure very precisely. Or it could be more of a progressive overload, pre-planned amounts of work being done. And then even though you're not placing as great a demand, you're still placing a demand. You're still administering the stimulus, but we back it off just a bit and then stair-step you up over time such that by the time you return to that level that caused excessive soreness, by the time weeks and months later that we return to that level, all of a sudden your body is much more adaptable and much more used to this type of thing. And so you find yourself becoming not that sore at all. Whereas that same workout 3 months prior wrecked you.
So that was the assumption I was going to say. In my experience, sounds like in your experience, I don't have research on this, but for most members, my comment has always been, as you continue to do this, that soreness is going to go away, which is why I hate it when people are like, soreness equals results, because a lot of people aren't sore And then those that are, it's going to disappear. In addition to what you just mentioned with protein and water, et cetera, you made a comment that I think we could kind of highlight here, which is just movement. I think we talked about that in a previous episode.
Yeah.
You go do something that's hard. There was that study on women that were training for marathons and they came out heavier after the training than before.
Right.
Because when you're doing that heavy activity and it's, I struggle with this today. If I go do like a big negative only or one of our workouts and then I'm feeling just like it drained me, right? It's hard the rest of the day to move around. My steps come down, my movement comes down, et cetera. And then you might be like, I'm sore because you sat on the couch more. So yeah, it sounds like, yeah, adding movement to that list of sleep, water, protein, sunlight, these things are important. Just maximizing the recovery piece.
Yeah, and part of the recovery process is bringing new oxygenated blood into the muscle that we place the demand on and then buffering out waste product. And if you're sedentary, that process doesn't happen as well. Also, lymphatic drainage happens a lot through movement, and that actually physically causes the drainage from the lymphatic system. So when you're recovering, that's the garbage disposal, right? So that's where all the byproducts end up. They get chopped up and used for parts, but that then gets flushed out. And if you're moving, your muscles are clearing out the waste product that has accumulated from the demand that we placed on it. And then also you are accelerating your body's ability to clear out the garbage. And so moving, calling blood into the large working muscles can only help speed your recovery and reduce the soreness. And then, like you said, if you like the soreness, well, it's important to really embody the fact that that's not the determining factor on the results, because 4 or 5 months from now, you'll be crushing these workouts, but not feeling that sore. And it is nevertheless true that these are productive workouts because you're getting stronger, your body composition is improving, all these things are happening. Just because you're not getting sore doesn't mean that those things aren't happening.
Yeah. Okay, let's end with this. If you're sore and you don't want to be, work with your trainer, work with your PeakWell coach. Yep. There's some good strategies to get past that and to get past it sooner than later. If you're not sore, it doesn't matter. Soreness in general doesn't matter.
It's uncorrelated.
It's uncorrelated.
Personal preference.
And I would highlight one of our earlier episodes on injury. If you're doing something for a while because you're sore and you stop doing that thing and you go do something else so that you'll be sore, there's a good chance you're just asking for injury. Right? Because like, let me go do this new thing.
Doing new movement patterns and
exactly. Yeah,
just trying to make yourself sore.
So let's just take soreness, get it out of our brain, and keep doing what we're doing.
I like it.
All right, man. See you soon.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to the Perfect Workout Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at theperfectworkout.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make fitness simple, empowering, and a part of life well lived. See you next time.